Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Banca Transilvania. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Ömer Tetik, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon or good day. I hope that you are all safe and healthy, and you managed to get also a real vacation of a couple of days, not just a staycation or work from home. Globally, all the companies are doing now. It has been indeed a very interesting 6 months, and it seems that it will continue. 2020 will be a memorable year, if not beginning of several new social and economic trends. We would like to present you as much as we can definitely the first 6 months results, and then also give you an idea about Romania, how we stay, how Romania economy stands, and we'll try to allocate more time to Q&A so that we will use the time more efficiently for you, as you might be having focus other than what we are presenting here. So as we were mentioning in our first quarter teleconference, our efforts in March, April was mainly about business continuity, but assuring availability, our disponibility to our customers, accessibility, assuring that our systems, different online and digital channels will be functioning without any interruption and will be accessible from anywhere in the world any time, so that we will not force them to come to our network necessarily, and to give them this comfort of having their bank available for them, which I would say that successfully we managed to do, because although the volumes of new loan requests or transaction numbers have decreased, we had been seeing, especially on the online and the e-commerce, more number of transactions. Customers have been communicating with the bank for their account statements, for loan restructurings, for different types of requests and inquiries, and we have serviced record numbers, historic numbers, in terms of number of transactions, customers, number of calls to our call center through our online channels, but also during April, while we maintained more than half of our network available, in starting with the 14th of May, with the reopening of the Romanian economy by the government decree, we are actually fully functional in our network. Now, although we have all communication channels, in order to be able to service our customers, and especially the big SME Invest program, the IMM Invest program, more than 70% of our employees are working from the offices, both in the head office and from the network, so that we ensure, as we mentioned also in our press release, that we will be close to our customers, we will be next to them, and we will try to not just save their current days, but also to invest our future further. In although numbers in terms of business volumes and loans definitely not comparable to the previous years, I think we did a few things well. Our capital accumulation until this year, offering us a total capital adequacy ratio of almost 20%, much above the minimum limits imposed or requested by the authorities, by the regulators, locally or internationally. And having enough buffers prepares us quite comfortably for what is happening and what might happen. Also, we continued our approach that during these delicate times, during crisis times, the most important asset of a bank is actually its liquidity, its relationship, and the trust of the customers. We see that the trust of the customers has grown. We see that our deposits have been increasing on a continuous basis during the second quarter of the year on a daily basis. But definitely it puts pressures on the net interest margins. So it's more, what we see is more of a investment in the relationship and in the future business cooperation, because as you have seen us until 2020, we had very strong growth of commission and fee income, net interest income. These were all coming from customers who had their savings accounts, their salary accounts with us. We think that once things will start normalizing at an accelerated pace, we will be also reaping the benefits of the liquidity and the customer relationship that we are creating. Romania, although had been late as compared to several other countries with the packages from the payment holidays to the government grants and subsidies, the SME Invest program, the IMM Invest program, it brought quite a good positioning for SMEs, for banking system, but also it created a good sentiment. And we see that although there are a couple of sectors which are severely impacted, definitely, especially on the hotels, restaurants, catering sectors, still the internal tourism of the country is booming. Because of the international travel restrictions, Romanians are spending 4 to 5 billion euro, which they were spending abroad. Now they are spending within the country. Also, food production, agriculture, even construction sector, we see growth. We see also more plans and hopefully applicable plans from the government in terms of investments in infrastructure, in healthcare, in education, but things definitely will take time. Before the officially approved payment holidays, before the public moratorium, we actually offered a direct moratorium to our customers. You know it from our first quarter teleconference and our announcements as well. We postponed credit card installments for 2 months. We started offering postponement of the monthly installments to our retail and SME customers until the end of the year. And this also created both an operational and commercial burden on the bank. But we think that for the physical and for the commercial health of the customers, this was a good investment. We are still comfortable with the decisions that we did. As regard to the SME Invest program, as you know, it's a program of 15 billion lei in total guarantees. BT, Banca Transilvania, has over 25% share of customers and guarantees in terms of amounts. Actually, 40% of the companies applying for the program has gone. They chose BT as the bank of their choice of getting this grant. This is a huge volume of processing of new loan requests and delivering to the funds, then disbursements. We have allocated almost 20% of our workforce, active workforce, for this program. This is also good in the sense that it creates definitely new lending opportunities for the bank and for our customers. On the other hand, we had been also quite active in assuming our responsibility as part as a part of the community, as part of the Romanian people, and we have donated more than 2 million euros. We actively imported ventilation units, masks, and uniforms or other medical equipment for medical staff. We had nationwide huge campaign with a couple of big brands, strong brands in Romania, donate for the first line of defense. which was quite successful and received a lot of appraisal from praises from the public. And during the peak of the emergency state, more than 40% of our colleagues were actively working from home. It was a very interesting mobilization because from a few dozen VPN connections, we reached a few thousand VPN connections in order to assure, as I mentioned, the continuity of the business. We needed to accelerate many things in terms of digital interaction with the customers, but also we started accelerating some of the ideas that we had in terms of nice to have, including reissuing cards directly in our BT Pay wallet, which increased, which almost doubled actually in terms of volumes. We launched like BT Visual Health or Ask BT, different platforms where customers could ask account statements, IBAN codes, payments, make payments as well. We, in order to decrease any any transaction with contact, even at the ATMs, we launched our NFC-based cash withdrawals, and also for the ones who don't have their cards, who have cards expired, we started SME code-based cash withdrawals. And actually, we reached over 2.5 million transactions per day with our cards and payment instruments, which were happening only in special times like Christmases or Easter period. This became our daily reality. In the company side, we have now full online onboarding. We also we increased the capacity of BT Store, where we are offering different services from factoring to accounting to legal services to our customers only online. And most of the initiatives from BT Visual Health, Ask BT, and digital signature that we launched initially for our retail customers, we also extended towards our corporate and SME customers for the usage. It's definitely it became the ESG became a very hot topic and important topic. It draws attention more. We are we had been working on that thanks to Mihaela and her team organizing several departments of the bank. The bank was step by step going in this direction, but we are already having partnerships with reputable financial institutions like IFC or European Energy Efficiency Fund, trying to increase the acknowledgement in terms of environmental, social, and governance positioning of Romania, but also offering special products, special custom designed products for customers who are investing for improvement in their businesses. Although Romania and BT, we are at the very baby steps as compared to our more Western European peers, I think this will be a topic that you will hear more and more, and you will be seeing that BT will pay more attention, allocate more resources on that, and we will try to award customers in terms of our pricing terms and conditions who are also attentive on their behalf. And when we look at, although there are not too many benchmarks locally, by the Romanian Investors Association, there had been a new index launched, and BT has scored 10 out of 10 in terms of sustainability and ESG developments. In macro environment, numbers have been definitely very volatile, although we are happy to see that Romania's contraction, GDP contraction, has been less than West European Union average or the more developed countries, helped by the monetary policy cuts of National Bank and some governmental programs, but also high activity availability of the banking system. Still, Romania is also going to see further, as we have seen in Q2, further budget deficits, pressure on that side. But on the other hand, we believe that Romania will avoid the talk of a recession, so that Q3 we might have, although not significant, slightly above zero GDP growth. And we see that the payments of VAT have accelerated manner. The programs like SME Invest or other programs similar to that. The talk of the European Union grant, the funds, has encouraged customers so that loan request, lending demand started coming back to the market, started picking up. Spendings are coming back, so this is important to keep the economy up and running. And also, we see that one of the important issues, the commercial credit of companies between themselves, doesn't create yet a problem. Companies are still respecting their dues to each other, so that the functionality of the economy in general has been assured. It's almost the end of the fifth month with COVID in Romania, and we are more and more aligned with the forecast of our chief economist Andrei Radulescu in terms of the fact that we think the worst has passed, and now Romania is redressing itself, preparing to catch maybe the next wave of economic cycle, next wave of growth. And you've seen, although it wasn't in the second quarter, recently National Bank cut interest rate to an historic 1.5% and giving signals of further cuts. I think all these will help a slow but steady economic growth in Romania. And this helps also the capital markets and the stock exchanges to recover at least partially the losses of the first half of the year. The loans are, the loan growth was mainly in the first quarter of this year so far. In the second quarter it was quite slow. We still see demand in consumer loans, housing loans, but also corporate loans, and late denominated loans are almost two-thirds of the total loans. Still we see an increased preference, especially at the low interest environment. We see that households are preferring to make their deposits in foreign currency, especially in euro. And this is, although it is still at a very balanced level, it will create more pressures maybe on the net interest margins of the banks, also of BT. The loan-to-deposit ratio of the banking system is slightly above 70%. For BT, it's slightly above 55%. And if you look at the financial performance of BT individually and as a group, our net interest income has decreased as compared to last year's same period, 3.2%. And we have delivered 1.3 billion lei in terms of net interest income. Our operating expenses also slightly increased. As we were explaining in the first quarter teleconference, the bigger impact coming from provisioning the unused vacations, some extra payments, accelerating some of the expenses in the second quarter started smoothing itself out, so that we reached 47% cost income ratio, going towards the comfortable level that we aim, below 45%, hopefully towards the end of the year and next year. We don't see any pressure on the expenses side, and both thanks to COVID and also our business growth, we had some savings, I would say, in terms of expenses. Some of them will remain, so that's obviously, soon we will come back to the market maybe with a new guidance about how we will close the year. Although it looks like we had been slightly pessimistic about our budget for 2020, we would like to understand better the cost of risk, the provisioning requirements, And then towards the was after the end of third quarter, after we watch the economic trends and customers situation, we'll be able to give more guidance on that. Our first semester return on equity is almost 15%, with cost of risk at 130 basis points. We have reached almost 42 billion of customer loans with 77 billion of lei in terms of lei numbers, 77 billion of customer deposits with a tier 1 capital ratio of 17.7% and total capital ratio, if we include the profits of the first semester, at 21%. I would not give you more details which are already in the presentation that we posted in our website, but in terms of the loan quality, our NPL par 90 ratio is stable at 3%. Definitely the moratoriums, public and private, does create a manipulation of the numbers, and we also think that once the moratoriums will expire, there will be more pressure on that side. That's why we will be doing some forward-looking provisioning based on the industries, customers and their cash flows. But still, our NPL coverage ratio with the collateral is very comfortable at over 125%. Our number of customers, number of products per customer start to grow, continued to grow in the second quarter as well. I think our availability and our strong contribution to the economy but also to community encouraged more customers to work with BT. Our card market share is at 23%, and with COVID impact we see now more than 1 million cards are enrolled in our own wallet application and Apple Pay wallet application. SME banking, where we are proud leader of Romania with 325,000 active customers, has shown that in programs like SME Invest, BT has to assume the position of leadership and to deliver as per the customer expectations. We have granted more than 5,200 new loans in the first semester, and I think this trend will continue also without SME Invest program in the second semester of the year. I would very briefly mention about the Victoria Bank and developments in Moldova. I'm sure that you have been following. Just to remind you briefly about the history of our presence in Moldova, is that at the end of year 2017, November, December, we have posted our bid to enter into shareholding structure of Victoria Bank through a vehicle jointly owned with EBRD, European Bank of Reconstruction and Development, and through a publicly announced transaction which was welcomed in written by the authorities, including National Bank of Moldova, including the government of that time. We have, together with EBRD, we have reached ownership of 72% of Victoria Bank. Since then, we have invested a lot in the systems, in the governance of the bank. We have established correspondent banking relationships. We have launched new products, credit cards, wallets, and we became launching, together with the Minister of Finance, we became the leader of Prima Casa, the first house program in Moldova. Unfortunately, due to reasons that I don't want to interpret here, we have received information about this penal investigation related to the so-called theft of a billion from the Moldovan economy and the banking system, where several banks that time in 2014-2015, many years before our entrance to Moldovan market, had been involved. Some of them unfortunately went bust, they went into bankruptcy. But now due to maybe also geopolitical reasons. The prosecutors have informed us about the penal investigation, and they put the seizure of the arrest of the assets of between 115 and 120 million euros. These are fixed assets, cars, some buildings, some machinery, and some of the T-bills portfolio of the bank. The bank is very liquid. Customer relationship is going further going on. We don't have any serious business disruption. Definitely we had to go out. And as you might have seen, IMF, EBRD, the banks, AmCham, Moldova, and several other foreign investor associations went out mentioning that the presence of Banca Transilvania through Victoria Bank is a blessing, not a burden, and hopefully we will see that the authorities will come to their will come to common sense and will investigate where they should. We are maintaining our communication openly, our transparency with authorities, and we also hope that once and done, things will be clarified. The ones who caused damages to Moldovan economy and banking system will be penalized, but not well-intended foreign investors. We will be the bank, Victoria Bank itself, has a very comfortable capital position. Is a very strong as the third bank in Moldovan economy, has a very comfortable loan-to-deposit ratio of almost 30%. So that we are also we continue our activity with all our locations open, our staff at the offices, and we also continue lending in Moldova because we think that the matter is mostly and hopefully temporary, and it, we are not giving up on our trust, confidence, and strategy in Moldova, where we see huge potential in retail banking and SME banking further, as we have seen so far. And I would leave now the stage for your questions, hopefully being able to answer all of them. If not, we will come back to you by updating our presentation or answering your direct messages. So let's start Q&A. I hope the sound quality is okay and you heard me.
Thank you. Then we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. As a reminder, to ask a question, you have to press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now. And we've received the first question. It is from Simon Nellis of Citibank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much for the call. I wasn't able to hear everything because I dropped off, so apologies if this has already been answered. But can you just give us a picture of how many clients are still in moratorium as a percentage of your loan book? How is the performance of people who are coming off moratorium, or I guess they haven't come off yet, or what's your expectation? Do you have any change to the guidance to your budget that you presented earlier in the year? And can you just let us know what the size of the NPV hit, the from the moratoriums is? And I think at the beginning of the year you gave quite cautious guidance. What's the likely figure for that NPV hit, and where is that shown in the accounts? Thank you.
Okay, so it's Mihaela here. I'm going to start with a question, with some answers. Well, when it comes to how many clients were exiting, that's not yet the case. So the majority of them have opted for 9 months. So we are going to see how they are going to behave closer to the year end. However, the number, if you remember, we were budgeting that something about more than 25% might go for the moratoria, and in the end, there are less than 20%, so something like between 16 and 18% have accessed this, let's say, the chance to have the moratoria. In terms of number of clients, you have the details in the presentation, so it's something like 41,000, but definitely the majority of them are retail clients, so we are speaking about a small amount, just about a large number of clients there. So when it comes to details regarding how either NPV was affecting the net interest income, and also we were having those POCI adjustments also related to delays in terms of moments when installments are going to be received. These are visible in the net interest income, and in our note to the accounts, you are going to see there all the details. So POCI adjustments were in the lay, if I'm correct, and when it comes to the net present value, also we are within the limits we were mentioning also previously, definitely, let's say, in line with the fact that we are speaking about a lower number, lower percentage of clients going for this moratoria compared to what we were budgeting for the whole year.
I may add that new customers asking for moratorium is almost nil. It is insignificant, but we receive also calls from customers. Some of them also opportunistically trying to renegotiate terms and conditions, not the principal amount, but terms and conditions if they go out of the moratorium. So the payment behavior is so far okay, but on the other hand, because the moratorium was fixed along the economy and along the banking system until the end of the year, we are analyzing quite closely, and we are looking into the industries mostly affected, how they are going to impact other companies, other industries, and how it might be the payment behavior of the customers starting with January. Otherwise, if we isolate the moratorium, the rest of the NPL numbers are continuing the decreasing trend of pre-COVID in a positive manner, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we go to the next question. It is from Hai Tandy of Concord Securities. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, I think I am in the same situation as Simon, so I couldn't listen to your conference call from the start. So just two questions from my side. The first one is on cost of risk. So I was wondering if, because you had a budget, I think, in the beginning of the year, and I was wondering if your cost of risk budget is still the same or has it been changed? That would be my first question. And my second question would be on, if I'm correct, there is a lawsuit with regards to False Bank. And I was wondering how this is going on, what is the exposure that is at risk, so to say, etc. Thank you.
The cost of risk.
Yeah, as regards to cost of risk, I just want to say something most about the format, not the substance, because the budget, as it is approved by the shareholders, remains the same. So we are, in order to change our budget, we have to ask for shareholders' assembly approval. But on the other hand, I'll say it's too early to make a modification to the budget, and what we have seen so far is that if things will go as they did in the last 1.5 months, Definitely, this is the most towards the worst case scenario, and any rectification, any modification, or a new guidance should be slightly lower than that. So, our budget made in March, approved in April, definitely was on the upper end of the prudent side. As regard to the fiscal administration, ANAF, if I may say, the fiscal administration litigation that we have on the bargaining game, actually, as you know, as some of you may know, that we won in the first court, and then in the second court, we what we see is that the continuation of the process has been rejected. We don't know the motivation yet. We didn't, I mean, the court didn't announce. I will leave our CFO, George, to give more details. But in the worst case scenario, we are back to square one. This is not the only or the last channel of defense. Plus, it is not going to have impact on our financials in the short or medium term. And I will leave Georgia to add up if...
Yes. Thank you. I hope you can hear me. First of all, I want to point out that the litigation was not related to a decision following a control by the fiscal administration, but it was related to an advance ruling that we requested because we were unsure how to apply certain aspects of the legislation related to bargaining gain. What we have now is a decision rejecting our appeal at the Curtea de Casație. However, we don't know the grounds on which this rejection happened. We believe that there is a high probability that this rejection happened on technical grounds because our case of contesting such an advanced ruling in terms of tax matters has never been done before in court. As we wrote in the financials, we are waiting for the motivation of the decision because at this point in time we simply don't know what happened. We don't have enough details. And when we will know what the motivation of the court was, we will take the next steps because we strongly believe that based on the merit of the case, we have a strong argument in favor of the treatment that we propose.
And actually these arguments have been supported by a couple of fiscal consultants and our auditors, which in time had been also changed. And so it's, I guess it's too early to interpret, and by no means this cannot be interpreted as yet bad news.
Okay, that's pretty helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Juliana Kostkala of Danske Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. I was wondering if you could give us a guidance on NIM and loan growth, loan growth by the end of the year and NIM in the second half of the year. So, regarding the previous question with Anna, so that means you already paid that amount and that this ruling won't affect in any way your financials for 2020. This is the feedback that we should remain with, yes? Thank you.
Okay, so with regard to the NIM and the loan growth, more or less, if the same, let's say, huge liquidity is going to be available in the sector, and if BT, what we are also expecting is going to be in somehow a privileged position to enjoy the same kind of liquidity, definitely we are not expecting to see, let's say, recovery when it comes to the net interest margin. More or less, we are seeing it stable throughout the year at the level as it is now. When it comes to the loan growth, we were able to show in the first half of the year some growth. Definitely this MMA Invest program is continuing, so some additional growth is going to come in the third quarter as well from this program. But next to this program, also regular or normal kind of loans are also extended in BT. So we are anticipating that overall the loan book of BT is going to be growing during the year, and we are not going to be that flattish as we were anticipating in our budget.
In terms of loan growth, I mean, the first semester results include only a small fraction of SME Invest, because most of the loans processed, granted and dispersed meanwhile in the third quarter, and in the last quarter it will be. Under normal circumstances, so without pandemic, actually we were creating almost 30 to 33, almost one third of our loan growth was happening in the last 4 months of the year, starting with September. And we see that although it's not comparable to previous years, demand is coming back. And we also did a couple of tests. We have launched two online offers, campaigns for retail customers, and they were oversubscribed in the sense that the numbers of loan requests were higher than February 2020, November 2019 or June 2019. Definitely, gathering documentation, processing a new loan request now takes more time because customers are also not able to collect, gather documentation from, be it at the land registry or their employer. However, in terms of year-end numbers, definitely we will deliver better than what we budgeted in terms of loan growth.
Okay, and with regard to that ANAF question, the point is that the whole process is not with regard, or we were not starting the legal process arguing if the amount is to be paid or not. We just wanted to validate the concept as it was the first bargaining gain seen in Romania. And we are not having any kind of decision coming from the fiscal authority with regard to the fact that such an amount, that a tax would be due on that amount. So that's why we can't speak about amounts being paid, but we are also far from, let's say, the situation of such amounts needing to be paid. So the whole process is with regard to the concept, to somehow have the first transaction validated like this in the country.
I understand. And when should we expect, when do you expect then a decision from ANAF? I mean, when do you say this will be clarified in the end? When would you know if there's something to be paid or not, actually?
No. A decision from ANAF could come only following a fiscal inspection, which we don't have any news that is pending for BTE. However, we are eagerly waiting the motivation of the High Court, because, as I mentioned, there is a high probability that this was rejected on a technical matter, and if that was the case, we have high hopes that, you know, ANAF will take into consideration actually the decision of the first court, which ruled in favor of us when they judged the item on the merit of the case, when they actually looked at the case, looked at the expert's opinion, and they decided in our favor.
I understand. And regarding NIM, you're saying that NIM is stable at current level, but what is the current level? Because I most likely NIM has dropped.
It's in the range of 3%. You have it in the presentation, which is uploaded now on our website.
So coming back to the question and the answer, we think that towards the end of the year we will maintain 300 basis points NIM.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Katarina of Raiffeisen Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I also have another question related to this Anaf case. If I remember correctly, you first accrued this tax for the bargaining gain. Afterwards, you reversed it. My question would be, is there any accrual for this tax expense or not? The other things I kind of understood, but I just want to make sure that you have an accrual or not for this.
We never accrued for this expense in the expenses. We have actually put the amount aside in equity. When we distributed the results of that particular year, 2015, in the year 2016, in the shareholders meeting, because we were waiting for a final decision of this, and we didn't want to, you know, to have a capital adequacy issue from that point of view. So it was the only thing that we could do. You know, recognizing the fact that there is a matter that's still pending to be clarified with fiscal authorities, but because we didn't have a control from the fiscal authorities and a decision to do that, we don't have this in the expenses. And we cannot put them in the expenses. I mean, we had long discussions with the auditors until we see what happened at the highest court. And after that, we take the decision on what's the most appropriate course of action following that recent motivation that we have to see. We cannot change our accounting approach related to this amount because it's not possible. We don't have enough information.
So, again, we didn't book it in one manner and then reverse it. We just have a reserve under our equity for that amount until things will be clarified. We didn't want to distribute it then to the shareholders. But also there is a misunderstanding because some of the questions we receive also in our investor relations email address is saying that is it a final, a definitive decision from the court? So this is not the last, this is not the final and last, and also as we were discussing at that moment in 2015-2016, but we are also continuously having fiscal consultants, European Union has very, very clear, as compared to Romanian legislation, very clear and firm standards, principles on that. So if that will be the case, in the, as we say, in the unlikely event of a, how to say, depleting all the channels of discussion locally, we will go to an international court definitely. However, the decision that has been vehiculated, we don't know the motivation, it's not the definitive one, and we will continue our debate with the fiscal administration on this issue further.
And we don't have to pay anything now because there is no decision of the fiscal authorities to pay something. That should come only following a control. We don't have a control currently.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We've received a follow-up question of Juliana of Danske Bank. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
One more question, if I may, on the cost of risk. How much from what was booked in this quarter comes from the macro situation and how much is underlying cost of risk, I mean, coming from the normal business?
All the amounts that we booked is coming from our changing our models and forward-looking modeling, not necessarily due to customers entering into NPLs.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Thomas Anger of
Actually, yes, hello.
Sorry,
yeah?
Okay, listening, sorry.
No, listening. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
So Omer wanted to mention something in addition to the cost of risk.
Question. As regards to the provisioning, we had also recoveries during the first half of this year. The provisioning amount, as you will see also in the financials and notes plus presentation, is more than the net provision amount.
Okay, so we are listening now to your question.
Sorry.
Thank you. Just on the fee and commission income, it was clearly weaker in Q2, obviously. What have you seen recently in July and also in the first weeks of August? Is it coming back? Do you see more activity here? And then on the operating expenses, you mentioned that you had a cost savings in Q2, and some of that is expected to stick in the coming quarters and years. What have you learned? What might be improved on the operating expenses going forward? Thank you.
So as our teleconference now has a limited number of participants, we don't have all our almost 35,000 shareholders. I cannot share information about July or August. We are discussing the first half, but as I said at the beginning, in general, let's say economic activities picking up, both commercial transactions, spending, consumption, loan demand is slightly increasing from almost zero in March, April, May. So that's why also I have mentioned that Romania most probably will avoid a technical recession, not having two consecutive quarters of GDP decline. So our balance sheet, as we are a Romanian bank, as we are the largest Romanian bank, is reflecting very much Romanian reality. You can take, also you can withdraw your own conclusions from that, but I cannot give you numbers now about July and August, sorry.
Okay, and the operating expenses going forward?
Well, when it comes to the operating expenses, as you can, you have seen the majority of the categories were in line with last year with some slight increases when it comes to salaries, but mainly related to the fact that structural changes have been happening in the bank, meaning with more people involved in everything what digital development in the bank is meaning. So more or less we are anticipating plus whatever had to be done in order to prepare the network to avoid any contamination. These kind of actions avoiding contamination are going to continue for the second half, but for sure we are not going to see, let's say, any pressures of increasing the cost side. So more or less what we have seen in the first half of the year is going to continue for the second half as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sunday Ojo of Harem Lobel. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, Omer and Mihaela. Thanks for the presentation. You answered some of the questions earlier, but sorry, the line wasn't coming through clearly, so I'm going to ask those ones again. The first one was the percentage of your loans under moratorium. I know you gave a number in Q1, but I didn't hear the current number you gave, Mihaela. Do you mind repeating that?
Actually now, George, our CFO who is with us, is putting numbers in front of me. In terms of gross loans, it's around 15% of the loan book. And in terms of amounts, we are speaking about less than 6 billion lei out of 42 billion lei. You may understand.
Okay.
And as Mihaela was saying, 42,000 customers, out of which mostly are retail.
Yeah, and the budget was built with a 25%. So definitely we are significantly better.
And in case you didn't here to repeat that the new restructuring or moratorium requests are almost nil.
But yeah, but the number, yeah. So what I want to understand, the number you gave in the first quarter call was single digit. So it has obviously increased since then. Are those retail clients, you know, now coming back for new moratorium, or what has changed since then?
We have continued our own, let's say, restructuring offer, but in the month of April, there had been also the emergency ordinance, the government ordinance had been approved. So there were many customers waiting for the public moratorium. We have tried to explain that. I don't know. I'm sorry if it wasn't clear enough at that time. But we knew that customers will come. That's why, as Mihaela was saying, we were actually estimating or budgeting, which is in our budget you see 25% of restructuring. We thought that customers will be more active in the, even more than what how they were in terms of restructuring and moratorium requests.
Okay, got it. Thanks. So the new one is coming from the public ordinance, which a lot of customers were waiting for to get on that. I'm just wondering, why didn't they just take your own moratorium offer before the public one? Just if you don't mind helping me understand that gap.
I guess it is understandable. I mean, when the bank offers a restructuring package, customers always think there should be a stake in it for the bank, and they the expectations was that the public moratorium will be significantly different for the especially for the population, which wasn't the case. Yeah. There were also even rumors that some of the debt will be taken over by the government. So all of them have failed. There's lots of discussions in panic environment. So that's why people waited a bit more.
Okay, all right. Understood. The other question I have is on Victoria Bank. I know you mentioned you talked about it while making the presentation, but I want to understand the current financial impact of that now. And have you taken a hit on that subsidiary? You know, has it been passed through, you know, the P&L or the equity for that 120 million euros you talked about, or is it still under litigation and you're still, you know, sort of contesting it? Where are you in that, on that case?
I mean, I think although they are very connected, there are also two sides of it. One is the impact on Victoria Bank, and as I said, discussing also with auditors and calculating the probability of losing such let's say penal accusation and being obliged to pay such an amount, still Victoria Bank is generating enough profits to be able to, let's say, recover by itself. It will definitely lose money, but also the impact on the consolidated BT numbers, just to remind that we own through a vehicle together with EBRD 72%. So the impact on BT will be whatever the final amount, if there will be a final amount, it will be around 45-48% of that final amount. We still we still think that there are either misunderstandings or maybe before the election some political populist messages, because the case itself, definitely we are going to international, local, Romanian, Moldovan legal advisors. It doesn't stand on its feet. I mean, but on the other hand, this is the problem. It creates, we have to allocate focus, attention, instead of focusing on new business and lending, we are focusing on this. So it's not a pleasant environment, but financially, yet it doesn't have impact. And any big huge hit there will have a pro rata impact on BT, if that will be the case. But Victoria Bank so far has, for whatever is happening, has enough capital to absorb the shock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So okay, got it. So you've not made any provision yet because you don't even have a final number yet. This is still very new at this point. Is that correct?
Our lawyer didn't even see the file, the accusation. It didn't. I mean, we didn't have the first term at the court. So we know about an accusation, and we know about an accusation which happened might have happened at the bank with different management, different shareholder structure.
Understood. Thanks. And the last question for me is on the tax litigation issue you've been talking about to several callers, and just, you know, wanted to say, like, I'm not up to speed to that problem. So if you don't mind walking me through what happened in this particular situation and how much specifically are we talking about in that case? Thanks.
So I'm going to, let's say, repeat a little bit the story. The point is that at European level, whenever there were bargaining gains in a transaction, those were not bearing any kind of taxes. When it comes to Romania, our transaction with Volksbank was the first transaction where a bargaining gain was booked. The fiscal authorities were not having an opinion on this. We were asking several, advisors to provide reports and to provide their opinion in that respect. We have both the opinion of some independent external fiscal advisors and of our auditors that such a bargaining gain is not subject to any tax. In order to be sure that we have, let's say, all the steps clarified, we wanted to have also a court decision in that respect. That's why BT was starting such a process where we were asking somehow the fiscal authority to confirm that this is the approach. And the first sentence we were receiving from a court was in our favor. Then the fiscal authority said, okay, maybe we are not really correct with everything. So they were making a contestation, and we had that second opinion, which was issued just a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago, where we do not know exactly the substance based on which, let's say, somehow it was more like a rejection of our request to recognize that this bargaining gain is not bearing any kind of tax. So this is where we are. It's not a matter of, having any kind of litigation with the fiscal authority, like they were asking us to pay and we were not paying. It is a matter of having a clear answer that it is not bearing any tax, this bargaining gain in Romania, just like in other EU countries.
If you want to make a comparison, at this point in time, our request in court was for the fiscal authorities to actually rule in sort of like a binding way in front of a legislative body, tax inspector, that taxes on bargaining gains are not taxable. So they refused to do that, and we sued them. So we don't have yet a control on which we don't know. Maybe during a control, they might change their mind, because they indeed changed their mind. And in 2016, when they changed the legislation, they clarified that they introduced bargaining gain as a specific item in the legislation, which is exempt from tax. So following the year when we merged with the Volksbank, this was clarified, and there is not an issue anymore in the legislation. I've seen in the press some questions related to Bampost transaction, where indeed we had a small bargaining gain. There is not an issue for that transaction because the legislation from 2016 onwards is clarified, and it's clear that bargaining gains are not taxable.
Okay, so has there been any change in that position then by the court that is now taxable or not? And my second question is, what is the contingent liability?
Yeah. No, that's the idea. I mean, we don't see the text from the judge, the motivation of any kind of decision, we are not able to pronounce you something. Repeating that we won at the first course, the second court has, the appeal court type has refused the processing of the file itself. So it is not a favorable or unfavorable decision. And in order to be able to interpret, we need to see the details of the motivation, which hopefully will come in the month of September.
Okay. And how much contingent liability are we talking about here? Just, you know, in case there's an unfavorable decision, how much did you charge from your from hold from your equity, you know, not distributable because of this?
No, the amount under discussion is 268 million lei, which
okay.
We already, as we were explaining, put reserves under our equity for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'll say again, here the worst case scenario will not have an impact on the equity.
Understood. All right. Thank you very much. That's it. Thank you.
So let's have the last question, and then if there are further questions, definitely Mihail and her team, we will try to answer.
Okay, then we'll take the last question of Alex Burgers of Wood & Company. Your line is open, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. A very quick question regarding cost of risk, because my line was also a bit bad. You said that relative to the budget, the cost of risk, because in the budget you had 950 million lei as provisions on an individual level, and in the first half it's below 300. So I assume what you mentioned is that it's getting better than expectations, I imagine. Or did I miss something? Because, sorry, my line was bad.
It's okay. I mean, thank you for asking. And our provisioning, based on the remodeling, is close to 390 million lei. But we had also strong recoveries from earlier provisioned loans, be it asset sales or repayments from customers. So the net is less than 300 million. But otherwise, new provisioning is over 380-something million lei. That's why, very difficult to tell, but we think that we are... or at least comfortably say that the budgeted number is the very prudent worst case scenario could be.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us, for listening to us, and I'm sorry for the technical problems, but I hope that when we hear next time, besides the quality of the sound, we will have also quality of the numbers, and we will be able to speak about not only for BT, but for Romania, for all European and international economies, about better numbers. Until then, if you have further questions, please do not hesitate to address our investor relations channels. Mihaela and her team will definitely try to answer in a very short period of time. And also, even regarding the presentation or our numbers from the first half, if you need more clarification, we would love to give more details as soon as possible. And if not, we'll hear each other in 3 months' time from now, after finalizing the third quarter. Stay safe, be healthy, take care of yourselves, and hopefully have prosperous businesses as well.
Thank you. Bye.